Hey everybody, this is the Drive On Podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now, let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, this is Scott DeLuzio with the Drive On Podcast. We're talking today with my wife, Vicky, and we are going to be talking about her side of my time in the military. We're going to talk about from the spouse's perspective, the things that she kind of had to go through while I was away, while I was deployed, and even afterwards when I got back home. We talked a little bit about this in previous episodes from my point of view, but I think it's important to kind of get the full story so we get both sides of the story so that way we can see what everyone is feeling and what everyone is going through through that same situation. So now I'll introduce my wife Vicky. I'm going to let her kind of take it away and tell her a little bit about our relationship and kind of our little bit of background, and we'll jump into the questions.
Hi, I'm Vicky DeLuzio. Scott and I have been married for almost 11 years. We met in Connecticut, and I am 8 months older than him, so I robbed the cradle on that one. And so we met, and he was already in the military. He had signed up a couple months before we met. When we were introduced, one of our mutual friends set us up, but it was kind of a blind date. And so I kind of knew what I was getting into. My dad actually had served in the same unit years and years and years ago. Even though my dad was in the military, my dad did not serve while I was a young kid. So I didn't live the military lifestyle, but I knew of the military lifestyle. I had some friends who were married to military people, so I kind of had a sense of what I was getting into a little bit, I think. After September 11th, I think it really opened my eyes to what everyone was going through with the military. So Scott and I got married after knowing each other for about 2 years, and right before he deployed, we had our first child. Scott was still stateside, but he was considered in pre-deployment. So I was pregnant and kind of half alone for some of the pregnancy, because Scott had a lot of pre-deployment training. And it was just a really rough time. Scott made it back home barely, just in time for our first son to be born. It was pretty much like an hour before our son was born that my husband made it back. Scott made it back with his full cold weather gear on.
We came like right from the field. It was, you know, wintertime in Indiana. It was cold. I was wearing the cold weather gear and everything, and I just walked right in there wearing the same stuff that I was wearing in the field just a few hours before, when I got on the plane and flew out.
Yeah, so that's how, like, Scott and our relation has been. It's been like, okay, boom, let's go, let's go, let's go. So things just really have been kind of crazy that whole time. And then Scott was deployed 10 days after our son was born. So that's pretty much how pre-deployment and deployment went for us.
So let's talk now. So that's a little bit about, you know, kind of our background, mm-hmm. between you and me. But let's talk a little bit about some of the struggles that you might have gone through as a new parent. Mm-hmm. While I was away deployed, I still had a little bit of training. So after our son was born, that I went back to, and then, you know, short time after that, I was already in Afghanistan. So, and I was there for a while, during the first year of our son's life. I was deployed for a good portion of that. And so what were some of the struggles that you had to go through, between me being deployed, obviously that takes an emotional toll on anybody, but also being a new parent and having to kind of figure out life with a new kid and trying to figure out how to do all the things that you wish there was an owner's manual for, because we all know as parents that there is no owner's manual for a child. So what were some of those struggles that you kind of had to go through for that?
I've always been a planner, and I like to have a plan A, B, C, and even D. And I realized with the military, like any plans you put in place, you have really no control of the plans that they give you. So if your spouse says, hey, this is the time I'm going to have for leave, that can change. Or I'm going to be able to give you a call at this time. You kind of have to know that. That might change, and you have to not worry too much about that. So we were lucky enough to be able to communicate with BlackBerry Messenger. So I didn't necessarily have to wait for a call or a scheduled time to call. And I know that a lot of times people wanted the video calls, and while that technology was really great, we knew that that wasn't always a possibility too.
Yeah. And back then, and I don't know what they have now, but, back then, like BlackBerry Messenger, I know, like, I feel old just saying like we yeah. had BlackBerries, but, we had a plan on, our Verizon, phone account, and it allowed us, you know, international kind of messaging capabilities through the BlackBerry Messenger like that. And I don't know if it was unique to BlackBerry or if you could have done that on an iPhone 2 or, you know, or anything like that. But those were just the phones that we had, and we were able to communicate just basically through like text messages, the way you would text message someone down the street or, you know, in another town or whatever. We were able to text message each other. And so that allowed us to communicate much more frequently than we might have had I had to, you know, try to get a strong enough signal to make a full phone call or even, you know, wait in line for a phone to open up, in the center area that we had on our base that had a couple, phones available that you can call with a calling card or whatever. So that definitely helped us in terms of our communication, with things that were going on at home and things, that we might have, you know, been struggling with or whatever. So,
yeah. So that was one of the things, like I realized pretty quick after all your training that, anytime there was a time frame that you had to just let up and let go, because the time frames were not contingent on just you and your guys. There were many other people that it seemed to depend on. So that was a struggle for me. And I also had to make a lot of decisions regarding our son's health. He had a cyst in his hand, and I had to decide what I was going to do about that. So I had to figure out what to do and just go and do that. We didn't have a lot of medical issues with him, luckily, but it was just one of those things I had to do. And I was able to go back to work with people that I had worked with before, and I was able to bring the baby with me, and it was something kind of convenient and something where I felt comfortable. So I went and did that. It was a means of getting out of the house and having some community around me. So that was really important too. So that was pretty much some of the things that I really needed to do while you were deployed.
And so, like, with these things, you know, being a new parent and everything like that, like, what were some of the things that you did to kind of help you kind of cope and deal with, you know, I know we talked a little bit about the communication with, you know, messaging each other on, you know, our phones and everything. And that was a good way to keep a little bit of sanity. But what did you do to kind of help yourself either, you know, mentally or, you know, physically or, you know, whatever you needed to kind of get through the days, and months and weeks and months, and everything. While I was deployed, what were some of those things that you did to keep on going?
Stay busy. That was like the biggest thing, was not to be bored, not sitting around the house, you know, thinking about just negative things. I didn't watch the news. I didn't read the newspapers. I kind of kept all of that at bay because I knew that that would make me nervous. I connected with a lot of high school friends that were around that just had kids my kids' age or a little bit older. So that was really helpful. I had a few friends who had kids who also had spouses in the military. Facebook was just kind of becoming a thing that everybody could get on at that point. Before, like just a few years before, it was just for college people. So I had just recently gotten on there. And so I was able to connect with some of my high school friends and college friends who had spouses in the military. So I was able to talk with them. And so that kind of helped keep me busy. So, and I was able to work with my old bosses too. So keeping busy was really the key. So it made everything go faster.
Yeah. So that seems like, you know, when we're talking about like dealing with the struggles that you were kind of going through, like keeping busy seemed to be like a common theme that you're talking about. And so, you know, going back to work obviously was one of those things, you know, and hanging out with, you know, some of your old high school friends and stuff like that kind of helped to pass some of the time. But mm-hmm. were there other things that you would do, you know, around, you know, your physical health and things like that? Would you, you know, go for walks or like what kind of things would you kind of do to help get yourself, you know, clear your mind or get out of that, you know, the four walls that you might've been sitting behind or, you know, whatever.
Oh yeah. I would take, the baby like to the pool and take on walks. We had the stroller and then we had the dog Roxy. And so pretty much everybody in the neighborhood knew the dog already and then knew the baby. And sometimes the dog pulled the stroller. I mean, it was kind of sometimes very chaotic to see us all walking around. But so the walks were not only physically enjoyable, but they were also emotionally enjoyable because everyone got to know us in the neighborhood because we had the dog who panted a lot and snorted a lot. And then the cute baby with the sunglasses on. So it was a lot of walking, a lot of exercise, a lot of trying to get outside, get out of the normal.
Yeah. And you spent a lot of time at your parents' house while mm-hmm. I was deployed as well. Yeah. So,
and your parents too.
And my parents' house as well. Yeah. And so that I can imagine, and again, I wasn't there, but I can imagine that helped you in terms of, that mental, you know, space where, if you were just at our house with just you and a baby where you have nobody to talk to really, you know, that could probably start to drive you a little bit crazy. No. Where it's like, I just need to get out of here. I need to go and find, you know, some other people to hang out with or whatever. And so, you know, having that support group there, having, you know, the our kids' grandparents around that you can go and hang out and, you know, bring the baby to, because obviously, you know, being new grandparents, they wanted to smother the mm-hmm. kid with love and everything like that. And so, you know, that was good for them too. And I'm sure, you know, they were, you know, somewhat had in the back of their minds, you know, some worry with their, mm-hmm. their kids being deployed as, you know, on my parents and everything. So, you know, how that probably helped them get a little distracted from the reality of the situation of their kids being deployed. And I'm sure your parents were, you know, concerned as well. And so that having our kid there to distract them from all that was a good thing, and everything. So I'm not sure. Did you have anything else on that?
No.
Okay. So when let's fast forward now. So I've been deployed, and you've been, you know, bouncing back and forth between the grandparents' houses, and you've been getting outside, doing lots of different things, and then all of a sudden, my deployment actually got cut short. I came home after my brother was killed in action. When he was killed, I was home within a couple days after that. And I didn't end up going back. It was unexpected, that I was actually thinking that I would end up returning to Afghanistan after that. But it kind of worked out in a good way that I didn't, for our family and for myself and everything, it sort of worked out kind of for the best. So what was our relationship like? You know, so obviously we had been married for a little while at that point, not a super long time, but, you know, between dating and then we got married and then all of a sudden now we have a kid. And then, oh yeah, by the way, all of a sudden I get deployed and then I come back and our relationship probably changed somewhat from, you know, at least, you know, the early days of our relationship, but it probably changed. So what was it like when I got back? You know, what were things like between us and how did everything happen? You know, when I got back in terms of, you know, how did that parenting role change? Because for the first 9 to 10 months or so of our kid's life, you were basically the only parent who was around. And then all of a sudden I kind of drop in there. So how did all of that change? And how did that dynamic kind of change with you as the, you know, kind of acting parent role now that I'm home?
Well, when you first got home, you were dealing with everything with your brother related, and you really needed to. You had to deal with everything with your parents. We had tons of family over your parents' house, and we actually stayed with your parents in their house. They had enough room for us to stay with them, and it was the right thing to do at that time. So at that point, really, the baby was kind of the comfort of everybody, and I took care of the needs of the baby, and I don't think my role really changed at that point. The baby was there to kind of bring a light to a very dark situation.
I remember when I got back, when I stepped off that airplane at the airport, and you guys were all there to basically greet me at the gate, and it was one of those like sad moments where, you know, we're all like hugging each other and everything. And everything was like real, like no one was really saying anything, but we were all hugging each other and, you know, tears were flowing and everything. And then all of a sudden our son just started laughing. I don't know what he saw. He saw something. He just starts laughing. Yeah. And we all just started cracking up. So it was a nice, nice having him there because it was a good way to, you know, lighten the mood a little bit, right, in that such a serious and sad time.
Right. So I think the role, your role didn't change until things were settled about a month later, because you still had to do like de-deployment
demobilization.
Yeah, you had to travel back to, I think, Indiana for a couple days. You had things to do with your parents. There wasn't really, you weren't really taking on the role of a parent. You were there physically. I don't think you were there quite emotionally. And I had seen with other people in your unit, you know, who had spouses deploy before, they said, well, when my husband comes home, they have the kids and it's just them. And I knew, well, first of all, you wouldn't have that ability, especially with Steve passing away, but I couldn't imagine doing that after being away a full year, just handing the kids to someone, especially our son, who had only seen you once for the leave you had, which was, I think, 10 days, you know, they didn't really know you. So, you know, for the first month, I still was on full parent duty. And then after that, it was kind of like I was mentoring you. I'd kind of follow you around and say, okay, I'll watch you and I'll guide you, or you know, I'll do this. You watch me, and this is how this is going to happen, and this is how I've done it for this long. And maybe sometimes you'd say, "Well, how about you try it this way?" And I might give you a sideways glance, like, "Well, no, this is how it's been done for this long, so we're doing this." But because our son was so young, he was constantly entering new stages. So I think you kind of just started to pick up where the new stage left off. But then when we had our daughter, it was like a new child to you, because all of the newborn stuff you went through was like a full new baby. Like you had never seen all that stuff before, but I knew what to do. So it was kind of interesting to see you go through that with our daughter, who's our second. So,
right. So, cool. So it, I kind of like how you put that before, though. I like what you were saying about how sometimes you heard from other spouses that had a their husbands deploy previously, prior to the deployment I was on, that they said, you know, when my husband came back, I just handed the kids off because I was done. I had it up to here, and I wanted to, you know, just put the kids in their hands, and I didn't want to have to be the one in charge of the kids. But you kind of did the opposite of that, where you continued to do the same level of parenting and all mm-hmm. the things that go along with being a parent. When I first got back, and you know, to be honest, like, I think when I got back, like, I didn't really know much about raising a kid. You know, you had a lot of, at that point, you probably had about 9 months of trial and error on your own that you kind of learned from. You learned what works, what doesn't work. You know, I had probably at that point changed, you know, 10 diapers my entire life. And so I was struggling a little bit just to, you know, kind of catch up to where you are at in terms of your parenting knowledge. And again, there's no manual that comes with a kid, even though mm-hmm. we all kind of wish that there would be. But you know, there's nothing for me to study and catch up on, but through watching you and how you did things, it kind of helped me kind of get back up to speed where I should be. And then that also gave me some time to grieve and to go through that emotional process that people need to kind of go through when they lose a loved one, the way that I did with my brother.
I think even if you don't go through that, if you don't have to go through that grieving process, there is still like a grieving of a change of process. You know, you sure. deploy and you come back, you're still changing up your whole thing that you've done for the last 6 months or 9 months or a year. So you still have that change that you have to go through. And I think there has to be that overlap in time where you're working with your spouse to make that change. So I guess I would encourage both people in the relationship to know that there's going to need to be some time to make that overlap and not just push the kids on the other spouse.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, when you're deployed, you're operating at, 110%. You're at a very high intensity, level of, you know, operation as you're going through your day. You know, when you're out on a patrol or something like that, you're in a different state of mind than you would be when you're playing with a infant or, you know, changing a diaper and things like that. Like your mindset's just totally different. And you can't just go from 100 miles an hour with your hair on fire to, you know, back to 35 miles an hour where, you should be on a normal, you know, day to day as a parent. And you can't just do that in an instant. You know, you kind of have to slowly bring it back down. And so it's helpful to have that support around, by having the spouse who's willing to kind of continue doing all that hard work that they were doing while you were deployed, or while I was deployed, kind of support me in that kind of decompression time period where I kind of have to kind of wind down a little bit. So, now that, you know, so now I'm back and we're going through that phase of kind of adjusting to, life now as, again, a couple, but now a couple with a child, and that's a new dynamic. How did we continue to keep that communication open, in our relationship? So when I was deployed, like, we had a good communication prior to, when I was deployed. We talked all the time, and, you know, anytime there was an issue, we always talked about it, and we tried to work things out together. When I was deployed, we messaged back and forth, and everything. And that really helped, I think, our relationship while I was deployed. But then I get back. And so now we have this new dynamic of having a child in between, you know, all the other stuff that we're going, that's going on in our lives. So how do you think that we kept our communication open, during that time?
I think we just prioritized that communication was important, and that not all communication was going to be completely positive. And that's really hard, you know, that to say that not everything I'm going to bring you is going to be, hey, you're amazing, you're awesome, you're wonderful. But maybe there's a couple things you need to fix, or, you know, I'm seeing this and it doesn't seem like it's you. Are you okay? And I think that was for both of us. You know, are you okay? Is this working out okay? You know, parenting is hard and so is being deployed. And, you know, you changed jobs. I was not working. I stopped working after you got back. We moved into another house. You know, we had a lot of different changes. So I think we continue to make communication a priority. And I think a lot of times when people become parents, they go, okay, my kids are my priority, and they forget to communicate with each other. And that could be detrimental to the relationship. And you know, even now, you know, we have three kids, and we realize that, you know, communicating with each other is extremely important to keep our family unit cohesive. So the kids sometimes do have to wait, and then we'll talk with them later. You know, if the house is on fire, yes, we'll take care of that now, but we also have to continue to communicate with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, now as we're getting a little bit older, and you know, some of our friends are they have older kids who are now, you know, maybe moving out of the house, and, you know, they're graduating high school, moving on to college and things like that. And they're dealing with that empty nest kind of situation. You know, you sort of see that they almost forgot how to communicate with each other, you know, because their whole lives were kind of geared around taking their kids to baseball practice and soccer games and cheerleading and everything else that they might be, you know, involved with. And so they're so focused on their kids. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say that focusing on your kids is a bad thing, but you also have to give each other time and space and everything like that. And focus on the communication, making it a priority to communicate with each other, and not constantly allowing the interruptions that children tend to bring, you know, and not constantly letting that interrupt that communication between the two of you, because you're going to find yourself, you know, years down the road, not knowing how to communicate with each other. And that's going to cause other problems, you know, in the future too. So,
yeah. I think jobs can create an interruption as well. So don't think if you don't have children that you're getting out of this one alone. You know, a job can create just as much of a intermission or interference as a kid can. You know, oh, look, my phone is ringing, I got to get this. And, you know, you go off and you run off and you don't talk with your spouse. And don't think that having to go on a date night is the most important thing. I know a lot of people aren't able to go on a date night because, you know, money is a concern or babysitter is a concern. It doesn't have to be out of your house. It could be you put the kids to bed and then you do something quietly. You play a game of cards with your spouse and you just chat. And we even go into another room and just like let the kids watch TV for a half an hour, and we can get a lot of chatting done. So it's as easy as that.
Yeah, and a lot of times you see people kind of hanging out and they're sitting in the same room or they're sitting next to each other when they could be talking to each other, but instead they have their phones out and they're scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is that they're doing on their phones, playing a game or something.
Two dots.
Or Angry Birds or whatever it is that they're playing. And you know, that's fine every once in a while to kind of break away from reality and just kind of, you know, or check in on friends or family who might live on the other side of the country or things like that for a couple minutes. But, you know, when you're sitting in the room and in the same room with somebody that you should be talking to, and it's, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, an hour has gone by and you're still scrolling through the same stupid stuff on social media, that kind of tells you should kind of maybe put the phones away and see what's going on with the other person. And you know, maybe they have something they want to talk about, but every time they look up, your face is, you know, buried in your phone, and they just like, oh, I'm just not going to talk about it right now. So, you know, don't be afraid to just talk. You know, if you see the other person who's sitting there and you know, they have their face buried in their phone, just start talking to them, you know, and make sure that they know that that communication is a priority. And they should be on the same page with that, you know? And then, you know, you got something to say, all right, put the phone down and let's talk and let's see what's going on and everything. So,
yeah, I think spouses whose husbands or, you know, wives have been overseas, you have to be open to the communication where your spouse might come up with something, you know, 2 or 3 months down the road after their deployment. You know, these things pop up, a memory will be triggered and they will feel like they would like to talk about it. And just like your kids might not want to talk about things when they get home from school, it's kind of like that with deployments. I think, you know, they'll talk about it when a mood hits or a memory will trigger. So kind of be open to that, that talk, and not everything will be positive too. And also look out for signs where your spouse might be struggling and ask them if they need help. I think that's a big thing too, is just try to be supportive.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know when I first got back, you know, my mind was just not there. I talked about this before in other areas when I've been given talks and things like that, but like the first year of, our son's first birthday, I don't even remember. And that was, you know, a couple months after I got back from deployment. And there's other things, other events that took place during that time. I have no memory of them. I have very distinct memories of certain things, but it's just kind of like my brain was still kind of, I don't know, maybe trying to play catch up with everything that was going on. And I had some other issues. I had some, you know, that I was struggling with at the time. And you brought it up to me and he said, look, like you're not being you, you're acting like yourself. You seem like you might be struggling with something and, you know, maybe you need to, you know, go talk to somebody and try to get some help. And so I did. And that was it was kind of like a lifesaver that I did, because, you know, who knows, you know, how much worse things could have gotten if I hadn't gone and talked to somebody. And so by having that communication open between us, where you felt comfortable enough to say something to me, to say, hey, look, I think something's not quite right. That helped me, give me the push that I needed to go in and talk to somebody and get the help that I needed. So, yeah. So any other things that you can think of that you might want to say about, you know, either the deployment or relationships or any advice, things that you maybe wish someone told you before we were deployed, anything like that?
Just that whatever plans they give you and they say that are set in stone, they're not set in stone. Sure. I think that's like 100% that anything that's apt to change will change, and you don't have control of anything. So just be open and be flexible. So
cool. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk about all of this. I'm sure it can help people, you know, kind of, maybe they haven't been through this through a deployment yet, and maybe this will help them kind of learn what to expect. And especially a deployment with a newborn, you know, that's certainly a stressful situation. So thanks for sharing everything that you shared and that we talked about today. And for listeners, we already have a few other guests lined up, other veterans who have their own stories to tell. And we'll be looking forward to that in the next couple of weeks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.